Bring a Christmas message in the time we have remaining, and I want to start with this little rhyme. Christmas is coming and the goose is getting fat. Please put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, then a halfpenny will do. And if you haven't got a halfpenny, then God bless you. Who's heard that rhyme before? Put your hand up for me. Okay, so there's quite a few of them. My mother used to say that rhyme in the weeks and days leading up to Christmas every year when she was alive and with us. And my mum was an interesting contrast when it came to Christmas. My mum never went to church in her adult life, except when we took her a few times near the end of her life. But she loved celebrating Christmas. Absolutely loved it. It was the best time of the year. She never prayed to Jesus for most of her life that I'm aware of, but she loved Christmas carols that were all about Jesus. So it was just this strange thing with her. And her story, when you think about it, might be similar to many people here in Australia today. Christmas has been celebrated every year since the founding of the nation that we know as Australia. And as you think about that fact, you either thinking, well, I assume that was the case, or I've never really thought about it, or why is that as important? But when you travel overseas and you become exposed to other public celebrations and other public holidays, you realise, I trust in a way that makes you yearn for it, that actually it's a celebrating of Good Friday and Easter Monday, Easter Sunday and Christmas Day shouldn't be taken for granted, because it doesn't happen everywhere in the world. It does happen in a lot of places, and there are Christians living in many, many countries that don't have public holidays that do celebrate Christmas and Good Friday still. But our country has a day off for Christmas and Good Friday, and they are two of the most significant days on the Christian calendar. And for some people in Australia, that it's just for them, it's just public holidays. But when you regularly do something as a habit, I think you will agree that on the one hand that can be good, but on the other hand it can have its drawbacks. And the wonder and awe of what Christmas is can become dulled or lose its shine. In the worst case scenario, you might say familiarity can breed contempt. But this year, we are wishing everyone here what I'm going to call an unexpected Christmas. Because no matter how familiar you are with why we celebrate Christmas in Australia, it's important that none of us lose sight of the totally revolutionary nature of what God did when he visited Earth as a human being. The total revolutionary nature of what God did when he visited Earth as a human being. Now, even though many of us love babies, for the almighty, all-knowing, all-seeing God to even contemplate coming to Earth as a vulnerable child, really, when you think about it, is nutsville from a human perspective. Like, we would not have chosen that if we were thinking of God coming to Earth. Over years, the birth of Jesus of Nazareth has been sanitised to the extent that we see this beautiful little clean boy surrounded by light as well as clean hay and even smiling edibles in some pictures. You didn't know cows could smile, did you? But in reality, it would have been totally the opposite in that manger, which is another word for a feeding trough. It would have been dark, smelly, noisy, and with stuff everywhere. And his mother Mary, probably with a sense of anxiety and maybe even doubt, had no choice but to place her child into a feeding trough so that it could rest and sleep. And when we look at it that way, we think, now hang on a minute, so this is the saviour of all the world, and he begins life in a stable, in a feeding trough. And I often think about it, and you might think I'm silly because Judy tells me I've got a big imagination. But I often think, you know, like he's the saviour of all the world. He's a baby. I mean, what if someone dropped him? I mean, like, what happens to the salvation plan now? It's fragile. Like, this is a plan that God is going to save humanity through. And that's how it starts, in complete vulnerability and dependence on other people. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. There was no bassinet from Baby Co. waiting for the saviour of the world when he was born. God doesn't ring ahead and say, listen, my son is coming to earth, no expense spared, Mary and Joseph, get organised. Not only is there no guest room for Jesus when he arrives, he probably gets licked clean by a cow. There's no McLaren Triumph pram waiting to take our Lord home from the stable. All he gets is a donkey with no suspension. From the very outset, God's decision to come firstly as a baby was totally unexpected, and in the eyes of some, even still today, ridiculous. Beyond belief, a fairy tale, a pretty little story that we invented because we didn't have anything else to do at this time of year, so we went for that. And some people today, they just won't buy it. The virgin birth, Jesus as a baby, sort of makes sense. It's got a few songs connected with it. But that's a stumbling block for many people. They won't even come at the idea that is God's revelation on earth because that's where it started. But for those of us who've said yes to Jesus, it becomes the wonder of life beginning in that place and in that way. Friends, if we were writing the script for God's arrival on earth, if we'd been given the job of Jesus' campaign director, if we were in charge of event management for the inauguration of God Almighty on our planet, we would have done it differently. This is the advice that we'd be giving God. Firstly, we'd say, forget the baby. They're cute, but they can't talk. All right? Forget that. We need maximum exposure. We need the saviour of the world to be up and running from day one. He needs to be out there shaking hands and kissing babies, not being a baby himself. Jesus needs to come as a man, a warrior, a statesman, strong, tall and handsome. This is the advice we'd be giving. Not only that, Sir God, but if you could supply a brilliant shock and awe display, which you do very well, that would help a lot. You know, lightning, thunder, a hurricane, perhaps a few new volcanoes erupting, that sort of thing. Oh, and let's move the show out of Palestine. It's a backwater. Rome is where we need to be, where the people who matter are. Forget the great unwashed out there. And then we will make an impact, and then we will show them who's in charge. That's the advice that God would have got from Human Event Management Incorporated when it comes to revealing himself to the people of the world. But friends, when we consider how God decided to come to us, we discover that his ways are not our ways and that his thoughts are not our thoughts. On this occasion, there is a message in the method. God does step into our world, but he steps into it on his own terms. God's true nature is actually not just revealed in ideal circumstances. In fact, it may not even be best revealed in ideal circumstances, either ours or for him. And the same could be said of our faith. It's one thing to obey God when we're desperate or when it means abundant blessings, but what about when things get difficult? So today we're looking at not only how God came to us, but also who got the news first and who God came for and how we are to respond. And as you might presume from the title of this message, it's not what you might expect. And I want to ask you today, at this Christmas, is there room in your life for, the unexpected? Is there room in your life for the unexpected? Because God may be seeking to break into your world and into your life in a way that you are not expecting and in a way, possibly, that you're not open to or prepared for. In Luke's gospel, up until the 8th verse of chapter 2, the only person who is told about the impending birth of God's son is Mary. A young girl, we believe probably a young teenager, is the only person that's given any indication that God is about to break into humanity through this boy, Jesus Christ. At the start of chapter 2, Jesus is born, and then the time comes for the first announcement to be made about the arrival. Sorry, love. So, what do you think God is going to do? How is he going to reveal this news to the world? What will he say? Who will he tell? How many will hear it? Where will they be? And how will they respond? Let's find out with God's plan. Have I got the PowerPoint? Oh, there it is. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about his child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Friends, for reasons that we struggle to grasp, the arrival of the Lord and Saviour of all the world, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, is announced in a field to a bunch of shepherds who are most likely peasants. No dignitaries in sight, no global apocalyptic fireworks, just a few men looking after their sheep standing in a field. Joel Green says in his commentary on Luke, "God's glory, usually associated with the temple, is now revealed on a farm." Not only that, but shepherds were often considered untrustworthy and their work made them ritually unclean most of the time. They were outsiders in every sense of the word, and some say they were despised. The contrast is deliberate. The emperor and his governor, who are mentioned elsewhere in the opening chapters, received no news of this divine intervention. Good news comes to the peasants, not to the rulers. The lowly are lifted up into God's presence. Let's make a few comparisons. Tony Abbott decides to make a comeback as Prime Minister, and he announces it firstly to the mechanics down at the local garage. Oprah Winfrey decides to visit Australia and she tells the assistants on the checkout at the local supermarket. Michael Clarke announces his comeback to Test cricket and announces it in the local jail to the inmates. God comes to earth and tells a gang of farmhands. Lying underneath the surface is one of the great themes of Jesus' ministry, and that is the great reversal. Jesus does the unexpected. Jesus is the unexpected. Jesus heals those who are seriously ill and crippled. Jesus includes people who have been excluded from the general community. Jesus raises people up who have been laid low by life. Jesus forgives sins that others considered unforgivable. And I want to ask you today, folks, have you experienced Jesus' great reversal? Do you need Jesus' great reversal? Friends, in some ways, it could have been anyone whom God announced his arrival to. It could have been us. It could have been you. In fact, today, it is you. The arrival of God's Son on earth is being proclaimed to you now. If you've walked into the wrong place this morning, thinking that you were coming to the rec centre to do some fitness work and you're sitting in here by mistake, but you're going to try and grab a free coffee afterwards, it's being announced to you now that God has come to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. And the question for you is, have you said yes to the great reversal that Jesus offers? Because without him, life is on a one-way track. It's going in the wrong direction. It's not heading where we would desire or want. But with Jesus, everything is different. Everything has changed. And some of you are keenly aware of things in your life where you need the touch of the unexpected. You need the touch of a great reversal. You need the touch that Jesus brings. But the good news is, folks, that Jesus as Lord and Saviour, baby in a manger, carpenter in the Middle East, is totally unexpected. And that's good news for you today. That's good news for all of us today. Because we need the unexpected and the different in our life. Maybe you've been looking in the wrong places. Maybe you're thinking, if this is true, if God has come to earth and Jesus really is his son, why isn't everyone talking about it? Why don't I read about it in the papers? Why isn't it on television? Well, this year, millions around the world will talk about and celebrate Christmas. More followers of Jesus are alive today than at any other time in the history of humanity on the earth. Friends, the news is out there, but it's not appearing in the places where we necessarily look. It's not necessarily on the front page today. It's not necessarily being talked about in Parliament. But Jesus is revealing himself in high school halls, in churches around the world, in lots of different places, in the mechanics garage, in the schools. He is being proclaimed. The question is, are you hearing it for what it is? Are you accepting it and receiving it for what it is? What will this Christmas be like for you? Just as same old, or will it be an unexpected breaking into your life of who Jesus is and what it's all about? I ask you that question. I want to just run through a couple of things before we close this morning. God doesn't advertise like we do. He doesn't go firstly to the rich and the famous. Maybe you live in fear of saying yes to Jesus. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you're thinking, do you know what that'd cost me? Do you know what that'd mean for me? Do you know how that would change my life? I understand that. The shepherds, when they first saw the angel, were terrified. An angel of the Lord appeared to them and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I'm bringing you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Do not be afraid. Jesus brings salvation in all its forms, spiritual, physical, emotional, relational. The angel says that there'll be a sign. You'll know that I'm telling the truth because you'll find a baby wrapped in cloth lying in a feeding trough. Jesus makes the same promise to us today. Jesus gives us an assurance that there will be a sign, there will be a confirmation, you'll get a revelation, you'll have an assurance that this is true. We're not preaching delusion, we're not preaching something just to make Christmas sound a bit happier and a bit jollier, but we're saying that this Jesus, reported in this book, is the God of Christmas, and he will reveal himself to you and confirm that this is true if you seek him. The shepherds started off afraid. They're terrified. What? But then the angel says, don't worry about it. Pursue it. Go for it. Seek it out. And it will be shown to you that it's the truth. So I want to affirm all of you here today who are seeking or looking and wondering. Maybe you're wanting Christmas to be true. Maybe you need Christmas to be true. Maybe you're hoping that it is, but you're not sure and you're afraid. I want to encourage you today that the God of Christmas is alive and well, and Jesus as his son. He makes the same promise to us today. We see in Matthew 7, 7 to 8, these promises. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. And then in Jeremiah 29, it says, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Folks, there's no excuse. If God can be found, we ought to be looking. It's not just about becoming a Christian. That's the starting point. But it's the beginning of a relationship with God. And then there are all of the things God has for us in this life. Are you a seeker of God this Christmas? Those of you who are committed Christians who've said yes to him, are you seeking Jesus in some way this week? They respond, these shepherds, and the question is, how will we respond to the call to follow Jesus? This is what they did. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Friends, these shepherds could have said, wow, that was pretty out there. What was that? Maybe we ate the wrong stuff for dinner tonight and we're hallucinating. And they could have just said, let's go back to work. Let's go back to sleep. But instead, having been told about Jesus, they say, let's get on the road. Let's go where we were told he is. And let's find out about this thing that the Lord has told us about. The shepherds, those considered on the outer of religious priority and society's elite, get the good news and do something about it. They move with their feet literally and said, let's go and find this Jesus. And folks, I want to challenge you and encourage you again. As the Christmas story is proclaimed to you today, how do you respond to its revelation? Are you going to brush it off? Are you going to say, these people are nuts? I don't know about Jesus. It's all too hard. Or are you going to say, let us go and find this Jesus that we have been told about? Because the good news is, folks, that God is willing to be found by everyone. God is not hiding. God has found you now that the gospel is being proclaimed to you in this place here today. Will you seek him? Will you respond to him? Friends, sometimes it's said of someone who became a Christian, they've found God in a very cynical way. But when it came to the shepherds, they really did found God when they got into Bethlehem. But the good news is that God wanted to be found. He told them where to look and what to look for. Where is God today? Where should we look? We must remember that our search for God is more of a preparation for God to reveal himself to us rather than a strategic hunt for his location. Sometimes he reveals himself to us when we weren't even looking. Sometimes the statement, I found God, might be permissible in the early stages of our faith, but we soon discover that God wasn't lost. We were. And neither was God stationary. It's just like a loving father playing and his child playing hide and seek. The father might conceal himself for a time, but only to increase his child's delight when he is finally discovered. He always allows himself to be found. He assists in revealing himself by hiding in obvious places and making noises, because only the cruelest father would permanently conceal himself. God has left the indicators. God has given us the signs about how he can be found. But if the child refuses to take part, then no discovery is made, and the father's presence in the house is simply unacknowledged. Such is our search for God, the God who wants to be found and has in fact revealed himself to us. Friends, we are to look to Jesus. We are to look for Jesus. He is the one. But we must not quit, because sometimes we'll find him in the strangest of places. Yes, in church, I hope so, but also maybe on the farm. The secret is out. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life this Christmas and forever. But it seems sometimes we want something else, or we're looking for the wrong thing, or we've stopped looking altogether. Be reactivated in your seeking this Christmas. The baby Jesus became a man who died for you that you might live in all of its fullness. What is your response today? This is what the shepherds did after their discovery. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, which were just as they had been told. These shepherds were given the indicators about where Jesus would be. And when they discovered him, they didn't sit on it. They didn't conceal it, but they immediately started to report and tell others about what they had seen and heard about this child and share it with others. And then finally, they praised God for it. They glorified God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which they had been told. I remember when I was a young man, I loved to share news with people. I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but I like talking. I love communicating. Some people tell me I do it too much. But I remember when I was a young fella, at this time of year, I loved cricket. I loved watching cricket, and so did my dad. But he was often working outside and didn't have the time that I had as a school kid to watch cricket. So I used to watch what was happening, and I would look at the action, and I would rush outside when something happened. I'd say, "Dad, Lily has just got out Viv Richards, and this is what happened, and he caught," and I'd just dump it, and Dad would stop what he was doing, usually digging something up or something or other, and he'd listen to me and he'd say, "Ah, that's really good." And I could tell he was interested in what I was saying, and it gave me so much joy to share the good news about the cricket. And it was probably no mistake that I ended up becoming a journalist following that, because I just love sharing news. I love talking about things that are happening. I used to ring up my dad when a big news story had broke many, many years after telling him about the cricket, and I'd still ring my dad and say, "Hey, guess what happened today?" I'd break the news to him sometimes before other people. But as I reflected on that job of being a journalist and reporting news, it occurred to me that as a Christian, there's one story that's worth repeating over and over and over again. And it was one of the key reasons that I got drawn into pastoral ministry. The opportunity to stand in front of you today and say, "Have you heard the news about Jesus? Have you heard what's happened in humanity?" And I love that, and I regard it as a privilege today to say it to you all again. Many of you know the story. Many of you have heard it and accept it and say yes to it. Some of you are hearing it in a unique way for the first time today. You've never thought about it in this way. But Jesus is speaking to everyone here today through the preaching of his birth and his word this Christmas. And I trust that you've embraced the good news. I trust that this Christmas is different for you. Whether you've been a follower of Jesus for many years, whether you're about to say yes to him for the first time. But don't put it off. Don't sit on it. Don't follow it up. But seek after him this Christmas. Be in church next Sunday. Talk to your family and friends about it. Find someone who's a believer and say, what's it all about? And engage with him this Christmas. I've got one more slide that I just wanted to put up. What should we do? The first hearers of the news about Jesus experienced his great reversal. They responded to the message, then reported and repeated it everywhere. What about us? How about you? Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, we thank you for the first Christmas. Lord, as we consider how we are going to experience it in the next week, it really is remarkable to think that without that intervention in our world, that Christmas wouldn't be what it is, it wouldn't even exist. But because of your response and your love for us, because you were the loving Father that wanted to be found, you revealed yourself to us through Jesus, born on Christmas Day, a baby in a feeding trough in the middle of nowhere, and announced it to a bunch of workers in a field not far away. Lord, we pray that we ourselves today might be receivers of the good news about Jesus, either for the first time or perhaps for the latest time, and that then we might share it and repeat it and report it to others this Christmas. Lord, we thank you for inviting us into this privileged place. We thank you that Australia is a nation that celebrates Christmas and Good Friday. Lord, we pray that that is never lost to us, but that more and more people come to understand why it is that we have a public holiday, why Christmas exists and what is it about. And Father, I want to pray for everyone in this place this morning. I want to pray for those who are followers of Jesus, but perhaps are struggling in one thing or another with the implication of Christmas. And maybe they need their joy refreshed this year. Maybe they need a renewal of their spirit because of what Christmas means for them. I pray that that occurs for them and for their family and friends this Christmas. I want to pray also, Lord, for those who have not yet said yes to you. Maybe they're hearing the Christmas story in a different way this time, or maybe they've heard it before, but they've just held off. Father, I pray that this Christmas would be different for them, would be something unique, that they could genuinely say, yeah, I found Jesus and Jesus found me, and that things were different for them this Christmas. Father, help us to be the witnesses that you are calling us to be amongst our family and our friends this Christmas and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're going to close our service today with a wonderful carol that is one of my favourites and no doubt is one of yours. And I just want to encourage you to get to your feet now and just to celebrate. And as you sing these lyrics that some of you have sung many, many times before, I want you to put yourself in the position of the shepherds as they received this news. And I want you to realise and understand that this news is also meant for you. This is unique news for you, and that you can receive it yourself this Christmas. So let's join together as Sam and the team lead us and sing this carol together.